everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
And Eric Astroslager.
Hello.
And Eric, I'm going to ask you to ambush host.
Okay.
Because, I did something in my left eye.
Let me guess.
Happened in my left eye. I put a contact in to play basketball. My eye just felt like it caught fire. So I think somebody's after me.
They're
attacking me through my contact lenses.
Oh, I'm saying normally it's my ears are burning, not my eye is burning. But yeah. I guess if someone's talking about you,
there's some kind of a conspiracy out there. Someone is after me, and they put something in my contact lens. Perhaps
is your eye swollen?
It's I don't think it's swollen, but it's painful and it's cloudy visioned. So
oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, well,
so yeah, I'm gonna hand the reins over to you.
Sure. No,
go
you
for it.
You go take do what you have to do.
I will soldier on, but I am here to contribute passively.
Okay, good. All right. Well, as Dave said, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. We are, of course, going to send you on your merry way to the weekend with a bit of frivolity, maybe a few life lessons. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but this might be a very special episode. You never can tell. First off, we're going to talk about what we have been watching and entertaining ourselves with, and I guess I'll throw it over to Mac. Mac, what have you been up to?
I'm real busy with work this week. Not a lot of time for some serious TV movie watching. But I did manage to enjoy something online. I guess it's been online for a while, but for some reason this week everybody's talking about it. It's Star Wars Uncut, which is the quote-unquote crowdsourced remake of Star Wars. That these filmmakers, they invited just ordinary folks around the world to do their own remakes of Star Wars, to recreate scenes just in their own homes using whatever they had lying around. And it's all been cut together in little, 10 to 15 second increments, and you can watch the whole movie this way. And people's creativity and sort of ingenuity is really impressive with some of the stuff they came up with. They have scenes where, the people's kids are standing in for the actors. They have some people do really elaborate recreations of scenes. There's a lot of animated bits. Of course, you see a lot of the action figures and the Lego figures standing in for the characters and so on. But some of them are really creative and some of them are really funny. Of course, it changes hands every 10 to 15 seconds, so you never know what's coming around the corner in just the next scene. But I definitely
Have you heard George Lucas is no more Star Wars movies because he doesn't want people to be mean to him anymore? Have you heard that?
Well, that's what he says, but I don't know. I think he was just having a sode. I Star Wars is his whole life. I don't think he can just turn his back on it.
Yeah, he said no new Star Wars movies. Doesn't mean he can't change the ones he's got.
That's correct.
Guys.
I'd love to, one of these days, I'd really love to see director's cut of Star Wars. That's possible.
They're talking about another, they're talking about a live action TV series. Clone Wars is still going on. There's going to be more books and comics and video games. So, it's Star Wars. It's not going away. Yeah.
No, the real question with this Star Wars Uncut, in the 10 to 15 seconds that takes place between Han and Greedo, who shoots first?
They do make a very big point of this, that they recreate that scene as an old 8-bit video game. And,
nice.
And that scene, they do make a point of showing that Han did indeed shoot first.
Ah, there you go. That settles that, then. That's cool. So anything else for you, Mac, or is that all Star Wars all the time?
Yeah, pretty much. At work at the news business, I was covering bank robberies and high speed chases.
Wow!
So,
wow!
Yeah.
Man,
so that kept me busy.
Did they catch any of the bad guys?
Yeah, I'm happy to admit the cops caught the masked bank robbers.
They had masks too. Were they wearing rubber
robbers.
President masks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, that would have been awesome, but no.
Okay.
And the high-speed chase, it was actually a lottery ticket theft. And it was a high-speed chase through town.
Was it a lottery ticket theft that happened in a thicket, perhaps?
It could be. It ended where the suspects crashed into another car and actually hurt some innocent folks in the other car, but fortunately it was only minor injuries.
Oh, that's good. Well, there's hopefully a civil suit pending then for those folks.
So the bad guys got caught, and the cops win.
Can I just say, obviously criminals are dumb, but Stealing lottery tickets just seems like such a worthless proposition. I mean,
that's a real gamble.
Yeah. It is.
The only way you'd have to steal them to sell them to someone else.
I just don't know. Is it worth the risk? I just don't understand.
They stole lottery tickets and potato chips.
Well, okay, we get potato chips out of it. You'd be better off planning a heist around getting struck by lightning.
Yes, absolutely. I just thought it seems if you're going to go through all the hullabaloo of masks and robberies, I don't know, at least steal some Slim Jims, you know? At least you can eat them if, you know, all else fails. But, you know, the lottery tickets has never seemed to me like a worthwhile proposition for a criminal.
Well, Dave, that's why you're not a criminal.
That's right. That's correct. That is why I'm not a criminal. Reason number one, in fact.
Okay. Well, if you haven't been robbing banks, Dave, what have you been up to?
I've been embracing with open arms the return of Justified.
Ah, yes.
The second season kind of left me a little cold. I thought it was there's some iffy elements going into that. But if I only judging by the first season, you know, the first episode, rather, season three, it really feels kind of like, you know, Raylan's back. And I mean, it's called The Gunfighter, and it's very much this Western. Desmond Harrington, who's in Dexter, is Quinn. He does this guest stint as this old school gunfighting type, and you know they have a showdown with Raylan. So it does feel like, you know, that Western feel. But they introduce Neil McDonough as a new villain, and he seems really good. And I know it was a great episode, and even Winona didn't irritate me, which is always a plus. So.
Technical question for you, Dave.
Yeah,
how are you watching these episodes?
Amazon? $1.99 a shot.
Nice. And through your PC to the TV, or how are you watching them?
I use the Xbox Media Center.
Okay.
To watch them. So, I have in the past just used just like Xbox. You know, once it shakes hands with my PC, I've been able to stream anyway. But the Media Center is pretty easy to do, pretty intuitive. So, yeah, Amazon Unbox, you know, $1.99 per episode. I don't get HD, but it's pretty good quality. It's great quality, actually. And then just through the media extender. So, yeah, I guess Amazon Unbox doesn't work with PS3.
Yeah, or I guess Max. So,
yeah, I guess, yeah.
Still out of luck, but that's okay.
You're out of luck? There's nothing, really?
Well, no, I could. Well, what I do if I want to watch something only on the PC, I did with Breaking Bad. When I bought the fourth season, I have an HDMI cable adapter for my laptop, so I just mirrored the screen on the TV, which worked okay.
So. Yeah, so, there you go. But anyway, great. Highly recommend it. So if you want to, you know, cough up the couple dollars or whatever, you know, go for it, because it was a great episode. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing. I just downloaded the second one, so I'm looking forward to seeing that as well.
Yes, I'm definitely tempted. My wife and I were lamenting last night that we aren't able to watch Justified.
Right, yeah.
So to find a way.
Yeah, no, it was great, and it really feels a lot. Going just off of one episode, which is all you can go on, obviously, but it just feels like maybe the writers of the Bruisers, you know, decided to give some more teeth back to Raylan. That's just my. And then looks like some good stuff shaking out with Boyd as well. So, but I won't get
excellent.
Into that.
Excellent. Cool. Anything else for you?
Nah, that's it. That's all. That's all we'll tackle for now.
Okay. I got a couple quick things. First off, I caught the first episode of Touch.
I wanted to track it down, but I missed it. So I'm eager to hear what you think.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, as I'm streaming everything, as everyone knows, because I say it every week. this is the new Tim Kring show, starring Kiefer Sutherland as the father of a boy who does not talk, but is able to make these complex mathematical connections that lead to these weird, almost supernatural ways that people are being connected, and he has all these cell phones. There's a lot of weird number stuff. And this seems like not necessarily what I thought it was going to be, just based off of the previews. It doesn't seem to be like a mystery supernatural show at all. It's not like a sci-fi show, which I guess in some ways is probably a good thing, because there's a glut of those right now, and considering that Alcatraz is kind of leaving me a little bit cold and Terra Nova kind of left me cold, it's good to see Fox maybe doing something a little different. This seems like it may be a little bit more of a I almost want to call it like an inspirational show, in the sense that it's kind of has it seems like every week, I guess, Kiefer Sutherland's going to kind of read what his kid has come up with and connect with people to either stop something bad from happening or just I don't know. I guess we'll see. This first episode, there were a lot of kind of these misconnections and these kind of complex, you know, butterfly effect stuff that kind of led to several things. Several big potential catastrophes being stopped by people. So I don't know. We'll have to see. I think it'll have to work really hard not to be cheesy, but I think if you can hit the right balance, it'll be nice to have a show that is a little more, that's not terribly cynical. And Kiefer Sutherland is pretty good, and I don't think he made it 10 or 15 minutes before he let out a nice loud damn it. So I think
he knows his audience.
he does. I was actually kind of surprised to see it in there, but hey, why not? So yeah, I think it's definitely worth checking out. The other thing is a bit of old news with Eric Asperschlager. Finally got to see Grindhouse.
I never got around to seeing that. Either,
oh no.
So,
yeah. I bought the Blu-ray a little while back when it was cheapish on Amazon, and I'm glad I waited to see it in its entirety instead of seeing that the two halves split up. I liked it a lot. I think it's a very cool experience, and you know, it's like over 3 hours of these two movies. One by Robert Rodriguez and one Quentin Tarantino, and the trailers and all the stuff that you know because everyone's seen it except for me and I guess Dave. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was in whichever Death. What was it? Death Proof.
Death Proof. Yeah.
I mean, I heard pretty mixed things about that one.
Yeah, for some reason, some people didn't respond to that very much. I liked it a lot. I think that it's a very different movie than the first one. The first half is Robert Rodriguez Planet Terror, which is more of like a zombie type of movie. So it's a little bit more kind of wall-to-wall action. Quentin Tarantino's half is more talky, but the slower segments I think work really well to lay the groundwork for these really explosive action set pieces too. I mean, it's got some of the best car chases I think I've ever seen. There's just a really intense, I think mostly practical car chase near the end, and one of the women who's cast, Zoe Bell, is an actual stunt woman, and she does this pretty amazing bit on a car. So I think it's worth watching. I mean, I think Death Proof was every bit as good as Planet Terror personally, but I could see why some people maybe didn't have patience for it. But Mac, what did you think?
I mean, it had its moments. It was an interesting experiment, but yeah, the 3 hour runtime got a little brutal after a while. I think it's because Rodriguez's movie is like so crazy and it's just so over the top. And then you get to Tarantino's movie and it's, like you said, it's so much slower and the pace is, and even the tone is so much different that I don't know if the two movies really meshed quite as well as they had hoped. But there's a lot of little moments throughout Grindhouse that I really liked.
Yeah, I think it's better personally that they're not of the same, you know, the same piece. They have a different, you know, it's a nice tonal shift, and they both represent kind of different aspects of the kind of the grindhouse exploitation movie movement. So anyway, I enjoyed it, and I know there's a lot of bonus features on the Blu-ray I haven't checked out yet, including extended cuts with commentaries of the little mini trailers by Rob Zombie and Edgar Wright and Eli Roth. So I want to check
that out. The Edgar Wright trailer is my favorite. That's really funny.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. I checked that out, and that was a lot of fun. So let's get on to new stuff. How about stuff we've been reviewing for the site? Mac, why don't you go first?
All right. Well, I'm going to make the jump from Star Wars to Star Trek. What I've got here is, now, silly me, I initially thought that, they're releasing Star Trek The Next Generation Season 1 on Blu-ray, but no, this disc is actually Star Trek The Next Generation The Next Level. It's three episodes of the show remastered into high def. Mm-hmm. So basically it's a commercial. They're telling you, this is what the Blu-rays are going to look like, so go buy the Blu-rays when they come out. And that's pretty much the gist of it. I'm trying to be real Mr. like technical guy and really get into the audio-visual quality of these episodes to really, you know, nitpick them to death and see how good they look. And I must admit, they do look pretty good. They're taken directly from the original film and not from the upgraded video. So it's kind of, this is how the show was originally meant to look. And you can see a lot of, like, little itty-bitty details on the show that I never noticed before. Like, there's a shot in the opening credits when the Enterprise flies by where you can actually see people walking around inside the little Enterprise windows. It's like, wow, I never noticed that before. Little touches like that are pretty cool.
Do they have any kind of featurettes or mini bits showing how they did the upgrade? Because I've seen some side-by-side video, and it looks like they changed some stuff somewhat substantially.
Their argument is that they didn't change it, that it looks different because, again, they're going back to the original film and not video.
Or not even, like, the special effects. I mean, I thought I saw some special effects shots that looked like they had been upgraded, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know, they've been improved to go back to look the way it was meant to look, but they're not doing the George Lucas thing where they're replacing things with CGI. At least they're saying that it's not that.
Because they did change some of the effects when they released the original series on Blu-ray, didn't they?
Well, you have the option of watching either one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You can watch the original show, or you can watch what they did when they tweaked the effects and tried to modernize them. But this, like, for example, in one of the episodes is the pilot, and there's this big special effects scene at the end with these two giant space creatures are floating around in space, because space creatures do that. And, you know, they, instead of being sort of bright pink as they originally looked, they're sort of a much darker purple, and they've got sort of a purplish flesh tone. You can see veins in their skin and stuff. And the idea is that these are how the models actually looked. And it's just because it's the film and not the video that you can actually see all that additional detail. At least that's what the studio marketing said to me, and now I'm repeating it back to you. Did it look pretty? Yes. So that's my take.
They probably don't have any reason to lie. We might as well give them the benefit of the doubt. Excellent. So, great. Dave, what about you this week? Anything good?
That's a good question. Mac, you have an idea? Edit any of my stuff this week? Out here?
Did you get that Switched at Birth show?
There you go, yeah. Thanks for bringing it up. another solid female teen-oriented drama from NBC Family, and surprisingly good. So there you go. Switched at Birth. Two babies that were switched to the hospital when they were infants reunite, one of whom is deaf. So there's a very much of a deaf subculture in there, which is pretty interesting and handled well. Although it is amazing. Maybe people are just that stupid and oblivious, but like every non-deaf person who talks to a deaf person in the show makes a complete fool of themselves. Like, gets right in front of their face and yells and gesticulates wildly. I would be able to hold myself a little more, you know, more accountable, but I don't know. So that's the only thing. But, and then like, the deaf folks signed to themselves and called them douchebags and stuff. So those are layups, I suppose. But
so if I understand this correctly, when they were in the hospital, the girl who's now deaf could hear, but because switched to birth, she became deaf. Is that right?
They got switched at birth, and the deaf girl got like contracted meningitis when she was a little
younger. Oh, okay.
So, and that actually plays, and there's a lot of subplots about that, like. You know, Leah Thompson's in this, and you know, she questions the other woman about why, you know, how did she get meningitis? You're taking care of her, blah blah blah. So there's that, and you know, then they're going to sue the hospital, and I don't know, a lot of soap opera elements. But man, why, I don't know what's wrong with me. Can't stop watching.
so this isn't a sitcom about a.
Not a lot of yucks here. Not a lot of yucks. No, it's an hour long drama. So yep.
Well, Dave, I was the one who got hooked on Kyle XY, so I've been.
Yeah, there you go. You don't have. Sorry, I guess you don't have a light to stand on either. So yeah, so Switched at Birth, go for it.
That's good. So for me, this week I'm reviewing a movie called Killing Bono, which is a British comedy. Apparently, it's a comedy because the back of the box tells me that's what it is.
Let me guess.
But it's not super funny. I mean, it's goofy in places. I just thought it was kind of. They got the tone wrong, but it's loosely based on a memoir by a guy named Neil McCormick. He's now a rock critic, but he kind of tried to be a rock star. And when he and his brother were kids, they were schoolmates of the boys who would become U2, and so they kind of followed U2's career, but in a completely failed way. And this movie is kind of about their story, although. Large parts of it are made up, including a subplot where he gets to the point where he decides he has to murder Bono to reclaim his rightful fame. It's a weird kind of movie. There are some good performances in it. There's very little U2 in it. So if anyone who kind of hears the title and expects to get a lot of kind of U2 biography stuff is going to be disappointed. But it co-stars Robert Sheehan, who was on Misfits for the first two seasons. He's pretty good. There's also Pete Postlethwaite in it briefly. Kristen Ritter, who's been in a bunch of stuff. I think she was in I think she plays Steve Guttenberg's daughter in Veronica Mars. She's been in Breaking Bad. She's been in a lot of stuff. So they're definitely.
I totally forgot Steve Guttenberg was in Veronica Mars.
Yeah, I know, right?
Much less he had a daughter in.
Okay. Yeah.
Veronica Mars, Barometer Rising.
I know. Yeah. Peter Serafinowicz is also in the movie as like a coked out producer. It's definitely, it has these kind of, some kind of, it feels like a British movie, although not necessarily in a great way. It's just sort of, it's a weird mix of tones. I wasn't crazy about it, but there you go.
All right.
It's kind of boring, but. Anyway, so that's what we've been reviewing. Why don't we look at the next thing, Mac, which is...
We are going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. And you folks at home can play along. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and from there we're going to go to the cover art gallery for January 31st. We're just going to riff on whatever's on the list here. Probably the biggest release of the week would have to be Drive with Ryan Gosling.
Definitely want to see that.
Yeah. Positive hype about that one.
Definitely want to see that. Well, Richard Gere was in a movie in Topher Grace.
Yes, Together at Last.
That's right. Oh, how about Blubberella? That looks like a good one.
But is there anything in the movie that can possibly live up to that cover art there?
I think so.
The woman shooting the machine guns and the Nazi blowing up and. Yeah.
Did either of you see In Time?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I remember the trailers appealed to me, but the reviews are pretty rotten, so it just kind of steered me away. But
yeah,
the sci-fi flick about the folks who never grow older.
Sure.
Justin Timberlake. Now, put it in the files of shows that I kind of liked when I were younger, but are unwatchable now. Hey, Dude, season 2. I caught a little bit of it on like the Teen Nick Network or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's astonishingly bad. Astonishingly bad. A movie that probably will be on my doorstep this Saturday, Two-Headed Shark Attack.
Nice. I think we also have the so-called prequel but actual remake, The Thing, which got slammed.
Oh,
yeah. I watched the original last weekend. It still holds up really well.
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie. This is the actual release of the new Transformers movie that everyone was waiting for when the Bare Bones release came out.
Right.
Well, good. And right next to it, Treasure Buddies.
Oh, boy.
There you go. Is that a camel?
And a monkey.
Wow.
Okay, that actually looks okay. I'm kidding, it would be terrible.
The buddy in the upper right kind of looks really sad about something.
Oh, no, he has like the black paint under his eyes because he's the athletic buddy.
You sure he's not the emo buddy?
No, I'm positive. I reviewed one of those movies.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You love those movies.
I only watched one. How did I get like pigeonholed?
I don't know. I just heard you talking about it all the time. I don't know why.
I don't know. I mean, I liked Air Bud. I liked Air Bud and hated Space Buddies, and now I'm like the buddy guy.
That's Snow Buddies. I think I've seen that one. Yeah, I've seen Snow Buddies.
Oh, there's the that Star Trek: The Next Level, the Next Generation set. Some re-releases.
A huge week. Not a week stuffed with content, it seems.
No, starting to get back into some things though. So. Lots to look at and peruse and purchase to support DVD Verdict. And we'll give you some more suggestions. How about the inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release? How do you do this every week? I don't know. You know, the sleazy ones. What do you got?
How about Spork?
I like that. Let's go with Monkey Bone, I guess.
Classic. I will go with Spider Hole.
Oh, yikes.
Although I think I'm not going with The Thing. That would have worked.
Nah, but that's good too. Both of those work, I think.
Leave It to Beaver. It's all over the place. This is a great week. I don't know.
How about Dog Cold Jack?
What's that?
Dog Jack?
Dog Jack?
Dog Jack. I wonder what Dog
Jack
is about.
But it's dark.
I'm sure it's illegal in some southern states. Anyway, so there you go. So lots to look at. That will lead us into the final phase of the Friday filibuster.
Hey, do you think this Nova release, Bombing Hitler's Dams, would make a good like number one single by a rock band? Maybe?
Bombing Hitler's Dams.
Bombing Hitler's Dams.
That's like a post-punk sort of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Nice. Like if the Sex Pistols came back from the dead and reunited, they'd do that.
That's right. They went for the hit song,
Bombing Hitler's Dams. Oh yeah, BHD. It's a great song. All right. Ambush topics, ambush topics. Since Dave is laughing too hard, Mac, why don't you go first? Give us a topic.
Okay. All right, we'll just keep it simple, I guess. Getaway drivers.
Actually, that's these themes usually kind of grow organically, podcast to podcast. It looks like the getaway between Drive and your encounters this week on the
right,
and the hard news.
Yeah.
But I don't want to default to like Fast and the Furious or Point Break, so I'm trying to think of something alternative. Okay, how about this? I think I'm stretching a little bit, but in the most ridiculous sequence that was obviously inserted post-production because of studio notes that need more action here, the giant chase through San Francisco in The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Connery as the getaway driver driving his Humvee. And, I mean, it really is remarkable how out of place it is. You know, everything is out of place. You know, we see Nicolas Cage is this, like, you know, anxiety-ridden lab rat, and then he turns into McQueen, Steve McQueen all of a sudden. You know? Yeah, but I mean, it's a spectacle of destruction, but it means nothing in the movie. But
the commentary does reveal that they did shoot it at the last minute and inserted it in the film.
That's right. That makes sense.
I'll go with Bonnie and Clyde, the character CW's, the gas station attendant guy who I think eventually rats them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, gets them all shot up and such, so spoiler alert for Bonnie and Clyde, I guess. But
it's true of a lot of these crime movies, how the getaway driver is always the shifty one or the odd one out.
He's kind of like the getaway driver is sort of the bass player of the crime world.
Right. Well, I was thinking about that movie, The Transporter, you know, Jason Statham. The whole conceit of the movie is that he's this world's greatest getaway driver. But really, we actually see him do very little of that in the movie.
True.
There's just a little bit at the beginning, and then he's off on a whole bunch of other adventures. And it's like, you know, that's the conceit of the character, and we almost never see him in his element. Instead, he's oil wrestling with a bunch of other guys with, you know, bicycle pedals on his feet instead of doing getaway driver stuff.
It could be getaway driver training. I don't know if they have some kind of like Karate Kid-like routine where he paints fences with his feet. And
right. Maybe there's a school for getaway drivers somewhere that they all attend. That'd be a good movie.
Getaway driving, getaway driver's ed?
Right. License to getaway drive.
Yeah. There you go. Boy, the movie writes itself. Too bad we have to write it. All right, Dave, what's your ambush topic?
Well, since I'm struggling with, I don't think it's a real word, monocular vision. That's a real word. Characters with one eyes. Creatures with one eyes. Characters with anything. And I can think of two one-eyed characters
from
the same
movie. I'm trying to stay away from.
Trying to not do the obvious.
That's right.
Oh, of course, the, what's his name? The General from Star Trek VI.
Oh, wait, played by Christopher Plummer, right?
Yeah.
He's got the eye patch nailed to his head, right?
Right, bolted. Exactly. Instead of a strap, it's bolted onto his face. I have the souvenir magazine from back when the movie first came out, and it shows there's a photograph of the eye patch blown up, so you can see it in detail. Man, I'm just on a Star Trek kick these days. But you can see this eye patch blown up in detail, and the little bolts that are used to bolt onto his face, they've got little Klingon symbols carved onto them. That's how much detail there was in that eye patch. Pretty impressive. Something that no one ever saw when they saw the movie.
I assume there was a Cyclops in Clash of the Titans, was there? Or one of those type of movies was there?
Question.
No?
I mean, it was definitely in the Sinbad movie.
Yeah, Sinbad, yeah, there you go.
One of my favorite, that Cyclops is one of my favorite scenes. I love that. He's like squashing guys with a tree trunk. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Clash of the Titans, though. Wasn't there Cyclops? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably not.
Are you thinking of Krull?
I'm thinking of Greek mythology, actually, and
not
trying to compare.
Krull.
Although now I'm thinking of Krullers.
Maybe that's the title of the Sex Pistols album that Tommy Hitler's Dams appears in.
What's that, Krullers?
Yeah.
Thinking of Krullers.
Thinking of Krullers, yes.
The older, fatter Sex Pistols.
So you're going to settle with generic Cyclops?
Well, okay, how about Cyclops from the X-Men? Is that where?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, sure, why not? Let's see. Well, the obvious one we would agree would be One-Eyed Willy, correct?
Of course.
Yes.
And then the bonus one is the octopus from the deleted scene.
Oh, nice.
They have one eye?
Do they? No, they
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Does an octopus have one?
I've never seen the deleted scene, so I don't even know.
You know what? Okay, wait. Does an octopus have one eye or two eyes?
In real life, they have
real life.
They have two.
You know what? That makes sense. I'm confusing the octopus, which looks a lot like Muno who has one eye.
Okay. I should have gone with Muno.
I'm going to go with Muno. Because the octopus is like got this, like the same skin texture as Muno, and then they kind of melded together. Yeah. Boy, that's the dumbest comment of the week. Octopuses have one eye or two eyes. Dumbass. So yeah,
in the live action Popeye movie, that octopus has one eye. It has like a big cartoony one eyeball.
Oh man, live action Popeye movie. We never really talk about that movie. There's something compelling about it in all of its badness.
It's like surreal. It's
surreal. It's like strange. Watching how much work went into that movie. How little payoff there is, unlike anything else, but it's just, yeah, it is a surreal movie. Did it ever come out on Blu-ray or ever anything? Like,
I don't know. It must be on DVD, right?
Probably. All right, well, let's talk about Popeye better. So, all right, so there you go. Muno is mine.
Muno, that's a good one. I wish I thought of that. All right, well, my topic in honor of the upcoming Super Bowl, pitting my New England Patriots against the New York Giants yet again, football. Just plain old football. Anything. Football. American only, please.
American only, obviously. Okay, guilty pleasure. Time to fully admit it. I own it on Blu-ray. I can't not watch it. I can't not love it. Varsity Blues.
Oh, really?
I love Varsity Blues for some reason. It's awful, obviously, but there's just, I mean, there's, you know, you still got like Paul Walker's in it and, you know, James Vanderbeek in his like only role. I don't know what happened to that guy. I don't know what ever happened to that guy. But the best in that movie is John Voight as the coach, who is like a Bond villain. I mean, he goes in there, he makes kids play that are injured, and like, you know, so he makes these kids play and they have long-term injuries, and like he belittles people. He goes into like transcripts and he alters transcripts. You know, like he forced the kid to play football or to quit or something. He said, if you don't, I'm going to go in and mess up your transcripts so you can't get into Brown. it's just amazing. Kind of great, one of my all time favorite villains. So, but yeah, I can't get enough of Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues, was that the movie with the whipped cream bikini?
No, oh, yeah, that's right, Allie Larder. That's right.
Oh, for me, it's football players.
That's fine.
Okay, it's the ghosts of the football team who show up at the end of Beetlejuice.
That's a good one.
They're all singing and dancing to the Calypso music.
I don't think we survived that crash.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
It's a great movie. I mean, I've become very nonplussed with Tim Burton in recent years, but that is a great movie.
I mean, a fine performance by one Michael Keaton, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
He really brings it. Yeah.
Michael Keaton's great. Michael Keaton's great in general. Would you agree with that? Like, I'm a Michael Keaton fan.
It's good.
It is.
I like him. I don't know. Like, quick digression. Quick Michael Keaton digression.
Sure, absolutely.
What are the thoughts of the panel on Multiplicity?
Good, but not great.
Okay.
Never seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, man, I will laugh until I cry sometimes at that movie. I love Multiple. It's a Harold Ramis movie, like it's followed to Groundhog Day. But yeah, it's not kind of interesting. Interesting, as Larry David would say.
What has Michael Keaton done lately?
What have you done for us lately, Michael?
I'm just wondering, what's he done at all lately?
He was in that White Noise movie.
He was in the Herbie remake with Lindsay Lohan.
Oof, that was a long time ago. I mean, I got to think I saw him in some direct-to-DVD stuff.
Probably. I'm looking at his
crack intern up. What is our?
I'm looking at his IMDb page now. I should remember this. I didn't. He's the voice of Ken in Toy Story 3.
Oh yeah.
A little voice work. It's good. Otherwise, he's done. Let's see, look for non-shorts here. The Other Guys.
That's the Mark.
Oh, the Will Ferrell movie. Right?
One, yeah.
Oh, okay. Post Grad. Okay. The Merry Gentleman. The Last Time. Yeah.
Wow.
He was also in Cars. So I guess he's in the Pixar gravy train right now. Oh yeah, Herbie Fully Loaded, White Noise, Game 6, First Daughter. It's been a while since
he's been a while. I mean, he was the bee's knees there for a while.
Sure. Yeah. If I scroll down a little ways further, you know, you got your Jack Frost, you got your Desperate, you got Jackie Brown. He's great in Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
Multiplicity. Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Hey, he was. You're right. He really was something. Is something. He's not No, God rest his soul. Still alive.
The comeback could still happen.
Absolutely.
Oh, he's the voice of Noah in Noah's Ark, The New Beginning, right?
The New Beginning? Oh, yeah, so he is.
New Beginning.
What is that? Is that the prequel?
Yes, it's the prequel. It's the first three arcs.
Everything, it's all. Yeah.
Oh, look at this acting. Yeah. Jason Lee and Jason Mewes, Rob Schneider, Ben Kingsley, Patrick Muldoon from Saved by the Bell, Elliot Gould, Nicola Cherigan, Eliza Dushku. Quite the lineup. Howie Mandel.
How could this not be great?
It's got a $15 million budget, too.
Wow.
I mean, so it seems like it's action?
Yeah.
No, it's animation.
No, it's animation. Everyone, you know. You heard it here first. Noah's Ark, The New Beginning. Look for it in 2011. Okay, that's what it says here. So, all right. So for mine, a little while ago, I watched a movie on Netflix called The Fan. What's it called, The Fan?
Big Fan.
No, I'm sorry. Big Fan. Not okay.
Because that's old news. Robert De Niro.
That is super old. That's baseball, not football. Sorry. Big Fan.
Right, how about Swim Fan? Was it Swim Fan?
Yes, it was Swim Fan. The football movie Swim Fan. Wait, I'm changing the ambush topic. Swimming Fan. Big Fan starring Patton Oswalt as in a dramatic role as this giant super fan.
I'm familiar with that movie.
Yeah, who ends up getting the crap kicked out of him by his favorite player and refuses to press charges because he doesn't want to affect the Giants season. And he's really good in that movie. He can do dramatic stuff. I've heard good things about him in that movie Young Adult, but I haven't seen that. Have either of you seen that?
No.
The Jason Reitman movie. Anyway, so yeah, Big Fan is pretty good. It's a little bit of a downer in places just because it's, you know, he's kind of a schlub, but I enjoyed it. So. And that I guess on that bit of a downer note, we should have ended it with Noah's Ark, The New Beginning. I should have just, you know.
Well, check it out.
Definitely.
Maybe it's the untold story. Maybe it's like the Gnostic version of the Noah's Ark story.
If you have any suggestions at home for what the Noah's Ark, The New Beginning could be, you can write to us at what do we have an email address?
FridayFilibuster@dvdverdict.com or send a tweet to @FridayBuster.
@FridayBuster. You can also follow individual accounts. Mac McIntyre, is that it? Mac McIntyre? Mac McIntyre?
Yes,
I'm at Asper Slobber because it's hard to find me. So anyway, we're doing all kinds of things. Yeah, definitely follow @FridayBuster. Write to us, like us on Facebook, all those kind of fun things. And, you know, support DVD Verdict. We love your support. So thanks to Dave. Thanks to Mac. Well, thanks to me. You're welcome. Mac, take us home.
Make it so.